All right, good. Romans chapter 5, I hope the Lord's real to you this morning. I looked at the songs. I'm going to tell you, folks, pray for me. I had a message that I thought I was definitely going to do this morning and talk to people about it. It'll be probably maybe next Sunday, Lord willing. And then the Lord changed that when I got closer to the end of the week. And I thought, well, now I know exactly what I'm preaching come Sunday morning. And so I had that all figured out, outline put together, notes, and went home last night and kind of looked over it again and saw a verse just above the verse that I was going to preach to you this morning. And my mind just started running right then, and a whole other sermon came out of it. So pray for me that I'll be able to get you this one and it'll be a help to you this morning. I think this is exactly where the Lord would want us to go. But as I listen to the singing we're doing this morning, it fits perfectly with the singing. And hopefully it fits perfectly with what God's been preparing in your heart coming in here this morning. But Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1, the Bible says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's a very important phrase. Therefore, you say, why is therefore? Brother Gary said this all the time, the Sunday school teacher, and I picked up on it from him. He said, when you see the word therefore, you need to look behind it and see what it's there for. And so this is really a continuation from what's been happening so far. In chapter 1, told you just how bad a sinner we really are. In chapter 2, it talked about the self-righteous sinner that feels like, I'm not that bad. And it says you do the same things that those lost people do that you're talking about how bad they are. You're doing the same thing. So you have the sinner. And then in chapter 2, you have the self-righteous sinner. Chapter 3, you have the fact that none are good and that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it just nails down the fact that, number one, you're a sinner. Two, if you feel like, well, I'm not as bad as those sinners out there, you're not saved. You're just a self-righteous sinner. And then chapter 3, it lets you know that there's none that are righteous. There's none that are good. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then chapter 4 just lays down this whole thing that we're justified in the eyes of God by faith. It's faith. It's not your works. It's not your goodness. It's nothing about you. It's by faith in what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. It's not a do salvation. It's a done salvation. He died on the cross. He paid for my sins. He was buried and rose again the third day. He accomplished all that. If I put my faith in what He's done, then my sins have been washed away and I will be justified in the eyes of God. I've always liked the word justified. In my mind, it's like this. Justified, if you spelled it out, just if I'd never sinned. My sins are washed away and taken away from me. So it says, therefore, in light of all that we've seen so far, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Now you have peace with God. Before you were enemies of God. The verse is going to tell you that a little bit later. But now you have peace with God. You've been reconciled. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You've been reconciled to God. So you're now one with Him. Peace with God. But peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says this, by whom also we have access by faith into the, watch this now, the grace wherein we stand. Folks, when you, by faith, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you have peace with God. But more than that, now you have the grace of God that you're standing in. Say, what's the grace of God? That's the unmerited favor of God in your life. I have peace. I have peace with God. I've reconciled to Him. We are one now. I have peace with Him. But not only that, I stand currently. I presently stand in the grace of God, the favor of God. If you're saved today, you have peace with God. But more than that, now you stand in the grace of God. This is interesting. He says this, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The coming of Christ again to receive us into Himself. That's the hope. That is the blessed hope the Bible talks about. It's not a hope so salvation like the idea of I wonder if I'm going to be saved. No, we can know that we have salvation. The hope we're talking about is not something we see, but it's something by faith. We understand that He is coming back for us one day. That's a hope. I have no hope in anything. My hope is built on nothing less but Jesus' blood and righteousness. My hope is firmly in Him. I have no hope in anything else. That's what we're talking about here. For a lot of people, they don't have that hope in this world. But if you've been saved today by faith, as we're saying, by faith, then you have peace with God. You stand presently in the grace of God, and now you have a hope that He's coming back to receive you into Himself, and you'll live forever with God. That's what these verses say. All this week, since not here, sickness is everywhere, and a lot of families are not here today because of illness. When Brother Brad was over here last week, I knew they were getting ready to join. They had been visiting this church for about, 3 or 4 months. They've just like Brother Stacy Reeves, when he was here, they decided they would check every church out within an hour drive in every direction. And they went everywhere. And they finally came back and said, well, we've checked out every place. This is the best church around. I asked them if they just put that in a document, and I just started handing it to all the visitors and saved them a whole lot of gas and a lot of mileage on their cars. They can just know this is the best one. I talked to somebody yesterday. He said, we're visiting. We visited this one. We came to yours. Boy, we really loved it. We're going to this one over here. And I said, well, we'll see you when you make your way back around and finally join here. And I said, really, we'll love you. We'll take care of you. And so that kind of thing. But I knew he was getting ready to join. They had talked about joining. I didn't know that in his heart he'd been fighting this thing about salvation. And so when we came to the end of the invitation time, I was thinking they were going to come forward for salvation. But he raised his hand, joining. But he raised his hand and said he didn't even know he was saved or not. And so he came down and he said, I've been struggling with this for years. And I just felt very prideful, I didn't want to make that thing public. People have thought I was saved for a long time. And he said, I never really had salvation. I just kind of had something. I just had a form of religion. And maybe I thought I had some type of salvation, but I never really had faith and trust in Jesus Christ and asked Him to save me, be my Lord and Savior. He had never entered into this thing by faith. And so therefore, he had never had peace with God. He wasn't standing in the grace of God. He had no hope for the future. The Lord would be coming back for him. And at some point during that message, the Lord stirred his heart. And he said, I've got to get this thing settled and get saved. So he came down the altar and he got that thing settled in his heart and he got saved. And was he before? I don't know. But now he knows that he knows that he knows that that morning he settled it. No more questioning it. No more trying to figure, no more hope-so salvation. It's a no-so salvation. He says in John, he says, these things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know it. And so he settled it. He got it settled. And by the time I made it home that day for lunch, I got a text from somebody else that said, I'm struggling with this thing about, am I really saved? And by that night, somebody came to me and said, I need to make sure that I'm truly saved. And I knew that would happen. It would spread through a bunch of people and they would be trying to make sure of this thing about their salvation. And that's a good thing. You know, let me tell you what's good about it. If you don't know you're saved this morning, let me tell you what you need to do. Get saved this morning. You say, well, I'm not sure if I'm saved. Then you need to rest in what the Bible says about salvation. That if you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and accept Him as your personal Savior, He will save you. And then just rest in that. Trust in that. Trust in the promises of God's Word. But the person that texted me, they said this. They said, I've had a lot of trouble since I've been saved. I've gone through a lot of things since that first time that I realized I was a sinner and asked the Lord to save me. And in their mind, it created a lot of questions. Am I a saved person? Even though I'm going through I've got so many things that I'm going through. Am I really saved? Then Sunday night, somebody asked the same thing. And then by Thursday night, somebody called me and said, I want to make sure it's real. I want to get saved. So we've had many things happen. And I begin to think a lot about this thought. So I want you to see the next verse, verse 3. He said, you have peace. You have grace. You have hope. I want you to see the next verse, verse number 3. And not only so, this is a crazy verse, but we glory in, say the next word, tribulations. Preacher, I've accepted by faith Jesus Christ, but now I've got troubles. The Bible and Jesus Christ never promised you that after you get saved, you'd be exempt from troubles. And so, but we glory in tribulation also. Watch this. Knowing this. Knowing that tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience what? Experience. And experience what? Hope. Now I've got a stronger hope. Now I'm increasing in my hope. And it says this, and hope maketh not ashamed. Means I'm not going to be disappointed. I'm growing in hope. As you go through some of the things you're going through in this life, and as you're going through those, what will happen is as you go through a tribulation, a trouble, you actually get experience of walking with God through patience, of just waiting on God to take care of the situation for you. And as you're patiently waiting on Him to take care of it, you gain experience, and that experience makes you now have more hope that the Lord is in control. More trust that the Lord is taking care of your situations. And it increases this whole thing. So somebody says to me this. They say, "Well, preacher, after I got saved, I think by faith I accepted Christ, and now I have peace with God. And now you told me I stand in this grace. And you said I've got a hope that the Lord's coming back for me. But you understand I'm having trouble every day of my life now." Well, let me tell you, the tribulation that you're experiencing does not mean, if you are saved, if you put your faith and trust in Christ, the trouble that you receive doesn't mean that you're not saved. Because saved people still have troubles in this life. Doesn't mean you're not saved. And it should not drive you further away from God. There's people that should be in church today, but they've hit troubles, they've hit some kind of situation, and they've allowed that to drive them farther from God. Let me tell you what it's supposed to do, what it says here, that our tribulations, they said, "I glory in my tribulation." Why? Because it should drive me closer to more hope in God. What it should do for me is it should work the patience of me saying, "Well, I can't take care of it. I don't know how to take care of the situation I'm going through. I'll just have to wait on the Lord and let Him take care of it." And while I'm waiting on the Lord, and then eventually the Lord takes care of it, how many of you realize He can take care of your troubles a lot better than you can take care of your troubles? So as we wait patiently for Him to take care of it, and He shows up, watch this now, right on time, and He takes care of the situation, you know what you just got? Your patience just worked into experience. And now you've got a greater experience that my God is real, because I can feel Him in my soul. He's real. And what does that do for you? That should do something for you. Listen, tribulation should not make you say, "I don't know if I am saved." But if you go through tribulations and patiently wait on the Lord taking care of it, and you get experience, and it makes more hope that, yes, not only am I saved, but He's very real in my life. That's what it should do for you. What our troubles should do is not drive us away from God, but it should give us more of a dependence on God and the Holy Spirit of God. And so, when I thought about this message, I thought about the great love that we've experienced in God. The great love. Because I want you to see the next thing it says here. In verse number 5, "Hope maketh not ashamed, because," watch this now, "the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us." You say, what does that verse mean? Look at it again. Hope makes not ashamed. As I go through tribulation, and as tribulation works into patience, and patience works into more of an experience with God, I end up coming out of every situation I go into, every valley that I'll go through, I'll come out on the other side with a stronger hope, a stronger experience with God. And it makes me to where I'm not disappointed in God. In fact, I'm more assured that God is real in my life. And what I'm experiencing through all of that, through the answered prayer, through the experience of just walking with God, you say, what is all of that that's happening? That's the love of God in our lives. And that love of God entered your life. Watch this now. You entered into salvation through faith. And when you got saved through faith, you know who entered your life right at the exact same time? The Holy Spirit. God the Spirit entered your life at the exact same time. And what the Spirit of God should be doing in each one of your lives. I'm trying to help you with this thing of salvation. What the Holy Spirit should be doing in each one of your lives, we're going to show you in a minute. In fact, you can turn over to Romans chapter number 8. It should be just maybe a page over. What the Holy Spirit should be doing in your lives as you go through troubles in your life, what He should be doing is assuring you that you are the child of God and God loves you. That should be happening in your heart. While you're going through troubles, say, "Preacher, I'm going through troubles. I don't know if I'm saved." Let me tell you something. If you've got the Holy Spirit inside you, you just keep praying. You just keep reading. You just keep staying close to God. You just keep coming to church. You just keep sticking around the right type of people. And God, through the Holy Spirit, will show you how much He loves you as His child. Romans chapter number 8, look at verse number 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. You know what you've got now that you've been saved? You've got a spirit inside of you that gives you access to God where you can cry out, Abba, Father, which just means this. I can come before Him and say, Daddy, can you help me in any situation I'm in? You can talk to Him like He's... You don't have to come to God with eloquent speech and all these great things that you can say. You can just come before Him at any time you want and say, Father or Dad or Daddy or whatever you want to say, help me in the time I'm going through. And the Holy Spirit's real. He begins to do something in your heart. Look at verse number 16, Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and verse 16. It says, the Spirit itself, that's the Spirit of God, beareth witness with our spirit. Say the next phrase with me. That we are the children of God. Something should be happening in your heart. Remember that first thing we just said. That tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience. Experience is going to bring more and a stronger hope. You say, why? Why? Because the love of God, which is the Holy Spirit of God, is shed abroad in our hearts. And as you go through situations, I'm going to give you the next verse in a minute. But in 15 and 16, you've got the Holy Spirit in your heart letting you know you are a child of God. Say, preacher, I'm going through troubles. I don't know if I'm a child of God. I'm going through troubles. Listen, the Holy Spirit in your heart should be telling you, hold on, just stick with God. You're going to make it through this situation. God's right on time. God will take care of this. Just keep trusting in Him all the way to the end. The Holy Spirit should be doing that in your heart. Look at verse number 17. And if children, then heirs and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we, watch this, suffer with Him, we may be glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Folks, can I tell you something? You say, I've gotten saved, preacher, by faith. And I believe everything you're telling me, but I'm having trouble. Let me tell you something. Every child of God, if you get saved today, you will have trouble in this life. But can I tell you something? You've got the Holy Spirit inside of you to get you through all the trouble you're going to face in this life. The love of God is shed abroad. Look at verse number 22. For we know the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption for which the redemption of the body. You know what he's saying? This entire world, this entire creation is going through problems right now. Folks, you don't have to turn on CNN for 5 seconds to know this whole world's in a mess. You can turn on any kind of news station. I get sick and tired of listening to the news. You can turn on any kind of news station and it's a complete mess. You say, well, I don't like the president we got right now. I like the one we got now. I didn't like the one we had before. I like the one we had before. I don't like that one now. Whatever the case may be. Let me tell you something. We need to be praying for our leaders of our nation. Whether you like them or you don't like them, you need praying for them. Why? Because we're in a mess in this country. And this thing is not getting better and better and better. It's getting worse and worse and worse. And this entire creation, this entire world is groaning, just waiting for the day the Lord sets everything right. Everything's facing tribulation. Everything's facing trouble. And the child of God is not exempt from it. The child of God will face problems as well. And inside us, we're just groaning within ourselves, waiting for the day that we would be brought back to Him or adopted, fully adopted. You say, I thought I was adopted. Yes, spiritually I'm adopted, but one day He's coming back to receive us unto Himself, that where He is, there we may be also. And we're just waiting for that day. You say, but so I'm having trouble and it's groaning within me. So what do I do? Remember I told you the Holy Spirit, the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts to help give you not only through the tribulation, but have patience and experience and increased hope, right? Watch this next verse, 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Let me tell you something. If you're saved today, you're not exempt from troubles. But what you do have inside of you is the Holy Spirit of God to get you through the problems you're going through. You know, in a lot of our circles, we make the Holy Spirit be about how loud the service was or how loud the singing was or how loud the shout was. There's a whole lot more to the Holy Spirit than just how loud we are in a church service. And the Holy Spirit should be doing a work in your life to show you that He is real in your life. You should be able to walk out here and sing the same song that Miss Amanda is singing. I know my God is real because I can feel Him in my heart and in my soul. I know what's real. And you should be able to do that. He says the Holy Spirit is helping our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself make an intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You say, what does that mean? It means that I don't even know what to pray. I might just, Brother Aaron Bibb was down here on the altar a while ago, just weeping on the altar and praying because he's got a burden on his heart. You know, is he saved? He told me that he's saved. Is he going through some troubles? Maybe he's going through some troubles. Do the troubles mean that he's not saved? No, it probably means that he is saved. And as he pours out his heart, he might not even be able to just put any words together and say, God, I need your help in A, B, C, and subparagraph this, this, and this. He might not be able to word any of that. He may just pour out to God, God, help me. I don't know what I'm going to do. My heart's filled. I don't know what to do. I'm going through a really difficult trouble. Can you help me in this? I don't even know what to say. I don't even know how to word it. But the Holy Spirit inside of him just makes intercession for him and speaks on his behalf to God, and God takes care of the situation. Amen. You know what those things should do when you're going through stuff like that? Those things don't drive you farther from God. Those things should drive you closer to God. Patiently waiting on Him, whatever He's going through. Patiently waiting on Him to just waiting on God to do the work that He's got to do. Because I'm going to tell you, in most of our lives, the things you're going through right now, you can't fix the things you're going through. God will have to fix those things. You say, well, how come God isn't fixing them as quick as I'd like for Him to fix it? Tribulation worketh what? Patience. That's the word. If I could cut any word out of the Bible, I'd cut that one out of every spot. Tribulation worketh patience. But you know what patience ends up doing? It's working experience through the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you why. Look at the next verse, 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know these verses are just there. Look at them. And we know that how many things? All things work together for what? For good. To them that love God. To them who are the called. If you're saved, you're the called. According to what? His purpose. He's working things out. You say, but it's taken too long. Waiting upon the Lord. We chose the right theme this year. Waiting upon the Lord. And you've got to wait. You say, but preacher, I'm going through tribulation. I'm going through trouble. Does it mean I'm lost? No. No, it doesn't mean that. I think I might stop going to church now while I can work on the situation. No, it should drive you to your knees, to coming more to the altar, to digging deeper into the Word of God. So the Holy Spirit can begin to show you more things about the things of God. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 very quickly. Ephesians chapter 3. I think the love of God, the Holy Spirit of God, is trying to do things in some of our lives. And we go through troubles, and in those troubles, we get so overwhelmed. That preacher said, Brother Emmanuel the other day on Wednesday night, if you missed Wednesday night service, you missed a good service. And he talked about stepping out by faith out of that boat and going through that trouble. Can I tell you, this, what we just read, that's exactly what we're talking about right now. God told those disciples, get into the boat and go to the other side. They had His word on it that they were going to go to the other side. God already told them. You can rest in that. God's made a promise, you can rest in the promises of God. You're going to go to the other side. But then in going to the other side, listen, you say, I've got peace. I'm standing in grace. I've got hope. He's already told me. But yes, as they departed to go to where God told them they would go, what did they run into? A storm. Tribulation. And in the storm, Brother Emmanuel said, the storm is really loud and there's many voices in the storm. Thunders and lightnings and winds and noises in the storm. And what you've got to do is patiently just wait there and put your faith in the one that's walking on the tribulation and the storm. Walking on the waves. And listen for the still small voice of that one coming on the waves. And then stepping out of the boat and going to Him. And then watching Him say, peace, be still, and take care of the situation afterwards. That's what we've got to do. You know what they did? He made a point about it. He said this. At the end of it, they said, you truly are the Son of God. You know what they did? Watch now. Tribulation worked patience. Patience worked experience. And on the other side of the experience they just had with God, with Jesus Christ, on the other side of it, they said, we have an increased hope in who you are. That's how this works. These things shouldn't make us where we stop. We say, I'm jumping out of the boat and I'm going to swim back to shore. I'm giving up on this thing of God. No, we want to stick it out with God because God's going to work it into experience and increase our hope. As a family, as a person, as a church, increase our hope. We stick it out with Him. Ephesians chapter 3, and look at verse number 13. Wherefore I desire that you faint not in my tribulations for you. Paul's given him an example. You faint not in my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knee in the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of His glory. Watch this now. To be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That the Spirit inside you would strengthen you through troubles. Watch this now. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by what? Faith. That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, to understand some things. He wants you, through the Spirit of God, to understand some things. What? What does He want you to understand? Comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, the complete measure, and to know the what? Love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh where? In us. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. See, I'm going through tribulation. Yep, but it may be that in that tribulation that God is trying to strengthen the inner man of who you are. Strengthen you and make you stronger in hope. Because remember now, tribulation worketh what? Patience. And patience worketh what? Experience. And experience works what? Hope. I'm stronger in hope. The Holy Spirit's trying to work in your inner man. So that you can comprehend what? You can comprehend the full measure of the love of Christ in your life. You know what? I learn more about the love of God as I go through some of the things I go through. You say, well, how would God make this? How am I experiencing the love of God? How do I know the love of God in my life? Let me tell you, there's several ways that He could make that thing known to you in your life. Sometimes it's coming into a service like this. Somebody told me the other day, they said, I came to church and I was feeling like quitting. I don't know why in the past several months I've preached so many messages on just commitment and continuing and not quitting. I don't know why God keeps changing messages like this message that I had two different messages before this one and change it late last night into this message and then early this morning into this message. I don't know why. All I can tell you is the Holy Spirit's real in here and the Holy Spirit may be real in there, and the Holy Spirit putting those things together might try to get me to say the right things to strengthen your inner man. And to get you through a trouble that you might be going through. And just, as we would say, and regularly throw you a bone to kind of help you a little bit. Somebody said the other day, said, I just really felt like quitting. And I came in and you got up and you preached a message about don't quit, go all the way to the end. And you know what they said to me? They said this, I felt like God spoke to me. I heard the message, I heard the preaching, and I understood it's the Word of God, and it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and the Word of God was piercing my heart. He said, but I felt more like God took time out to speak to my heart directly. You say, what is that? That's the love of God being shed abroad in your hearts. I've been sitting in a church service before. I told you in Thailand, I sat in a church service and my heart was heavy. I was going through trials. I was questioning a lot of things about what's going on. And patiently, I was trying to just wait on God to give me direction for my life and tell me what I was supposed to do. And I was waiting patiently. And I didn't know what God was going to do or how God was going to answer it. And I opened up the Bible and the man began to preach from the Word of God. And he began to preach this. And I told you before, out of Mark, I think chapter 5, I said, God, what do I do? Where do I go from here? And the guy opened the Bible in Thai, and a man was behind me translating it into English, and it said this, go home to your friends and tell them what great compassion God has had on you. Amen. You say, what was that? That was the love of God shed abroad in my heart. That was the Holy Spirit of God directing that man up there through the Word of God and sitting right in the lap with me in my heart and saying, that was preached for you. And you might be sitting in here today and you're saying, well, I don't know who that was preached for. Let me tell you that it's preached for. It was preached for you. It's preached for you. And then I asked, you may think I'm making this up, like a good preacher story, but it's not. I said, Lord, what do I do when I get there? I don't even know what to do. I'm so confused. And the next guy got up in Exodus chapter number 4 when Moses said, they're not going to believe me. What am I going to do? And God said, what's in your hand? Remember the rod? What's in your hand? And while I was doing that, I had this in my hand. And it said, go home and tell them how great compassion. And I said, with what? What am I going to do? What's in your hand? You say, what is that? It's the love of God being shed abroad in our hearts. What is he doing? He's trying to get you through whatever trouble you're going through right now. You say, I'm waiting for God to do something. God may use the Word of God. God may use a sermon. I told you this before. There was a time that I went down to the altar, much like Brother Aaron just went down a few minutes ago. And me and Stacy went on the altar at Happy Valley, and we got down the floor. And I remember saying to God, God, if you don't speak to me right now in this service, if you don't say something in my heart right now, I don't know that I'm going to be able to go 5 more minutes. I'm done. I've had as much as I can take. I can't take it anymore. And I was just at my wit's end about something I was going through and Stacy was going through. And the preacher got up and he began to preach on joy. I thought of all messages on joy. And he preached on joy. He preached on this. Have you lost your joy? And then he got on this side. I was sitting right over there and pointed at me and Stacy and used this as an illustration. And spoke directly to our situation and our hearts. Say, what was that? What was that? That was some people going through tribulation. And they were patiently waiting for an answer from God. And God spoke through a man, spoke to me through the Word of God. And you say, was it a man speaking? No, I think it was more like the Holy Spirit speaking to my heart. And as a result of that, let me tell you what you come out with. Something like those illustrations I just gave you. You know what you come out with? You come out with an increased hope. You come out of a situation like that saying, you know what? God is real. And the troubles you're going through, I'm telling you, if you'll stick them out through the troubles you're going through, say, preacher, I got saved and I've got tribulation. Let me tell you, if you'll just stick it out through the tribulation you're going through and patiently wait on the Lord will show up right on time and take care of it. It may not be the way you thought he would take care of it, but he will take care of the situation. And on the other side of it, you'll be able to look back and say, I have an increased hope. You say, increased hope for what? I know my God is real. I don't have to question my salvation. You say, do you have problems that come up in your life and you question things? Yeah, I question a lot of things, but you can say that I don't question anymore. I don't ever question anymore. I don't ever question that my God is real for me and I'm saved. Amen. You say, how can you be so sure? I've seen Him, the love of God has been shed abroad in my heart. I feel His presence. I know He's real here. And God may take you through some things in your life. You say, I really don't want to go through some things. But He may take you through some things in your life to do this, to strengthen the inner man, Ephesians 3. To help you be stronger in your faith with Him. So you'd be able to understand the full measure of who Christ is and how much God loves you. How much He truly loves you. That you're His child. You're not exempt from problems. Let me tell you something. God may use a friend. God may use the Scriptures. God may use a whole lot of things to speak to your life. I'll close with this illustration. We were at the leadership conference of the day. Brother Tony Shirley, who I look up to, I love him to death, and pastors out in North Carolina, he used this illustration. I might mess it up, but I'll try to give it to you the best I can. He said that they got two kids, and they've got his sister-in-law has a child named Nico. And Nico has a rough home, real rough home. And so they kind of took Nico in and adopted Nico unofficially. And they've had him now for a number of years. Do you remember how many years they said they had him for? I don't know, but he's had him for a number of years. I want to say like four years or so they've had him. And I think she had gone to jail and come out, the sister-in-law, and got out. And when she finally got out, she was talking to them about taking him back. And Nico had asked Brother Tony said, hey, you know, everybody's names are in the Bible, but my name's not in the Bible. You know, why isn't my name in the Bible? So Brother Tony wanted to give him some encouragement, so he started looking through the Bible for Nico. And as he's looking through for Nico in the Bible, he runs across, I forget which one it is, but it's one of the wicked kings is like Nico something, something, something. It's a long name. And Nico's just kind of in the name. So he got him off to the side and he said, Nico, I want you to see something. Turn that page. He said, your name's in the Bible. It's like two or three times in the Bible. Your name's in the Bible. He said, I wasn't about to tell him it was a wicked king. But he said, what I told him was, he said, it's a king. He said, my name's in the Bible and I'm a king. This is great. He said, I wasn't going to tell him it was a wicked king. I just told him it was a king. And he said, he was all excited. And he said, it wasn't too much longer later. Nico's excited about this. He said that the sister-in-law said, you know, I'm thinking about taking Nico back to live with me. He said he felt like his heart was getting ripped out. He said he thought, I don't want him to go back there, and he won't be raised in church, won't be around the things of God. And he said he was stirred up really heavily about it. And he said that he began to pray. He said he got down the floor, his office, he began to pray, God, can you tell me something to give me some encouragement that I'm going to keep this kid? We want to keep him. I call him son. He calls me dad now. I want to keep him. He said while he was on the floor praying and saying, God, do something. God showed me something. God help me with something. He said he got a text message. He said while he opened that text message and looked, and it was a preacher friend of his from somewhere else. And he said, hey, I was just reading my Bible, and I came across a verse. There's only a couple of verses that have this kid's name on it. He said, I came across a verse, and it had the name Nico in the middle of this guy's name. And he said, thought about Nico. He said, I wanted to send you a message telling you I was thinking about you and about Nico. And you say, well, what is that? I think that's just the Holy Spirit nudging some person across the United States and say, right now, you need to text and say something about that boy. There's a man on his face over here crying out to me. He doesn't even know what to say. His heart's just burdened. And the Holy Spirit that's in him made intercession, spoke to this man over there and told him to text him right now. You say, what is that? That's the love of God shed abroad in our hearts. That's a real God. See, we come in here and we think, well, we're just singing songs. I'll go through the motion. I'll go home, eat lunch, and we'll go take a nap. I want you to know that we're in here worshiping an absolutely 100% real God today. And He's real in your hearts. And let me say this to you. For those of you that sit in the room, if you're not saved today, you don't even have this. You don't have any of this. You don't have peace with God. The wrath of God still abides on you, John 3:36. The condemnation is still there. No peace with God. You don't stand in the grace of God. And you have no hope. The only thing that this is that, look, folks, listen, if you're not saved today, this is the best it will ever get. After this, it gets worse in a place called hell. This is the best it'll ever be. You say, well, this is pretty bad. I know. But for those of us that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and that can be you if you're not saved today, we have a hope. We have peace. We have grace. And now we have a hope. And you are going to go through some things. But I want you, when you go through it, patiently look to God. He may be doing something in you to strengthen the inner man inside of you. And as you go through it, you'll gain experience with Him. And you come out on the other side with a greater hope, a strength. Let me say this. If you know somebody else is going through something, you know what you can be? You can be an agent of the Holy Spirit to strengthen that person and help that person. You can do that. But if you're not saved this morning, you need to get saved before it's everlasting too late. You say, well, I doubt my salvation. Let me tell you what you need to do. Let me tell you what you need to do about that. If you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you know you have. If you have, if you truly have, let me tell you something about God. God cannot lie. And you have the promise that if you, by faith, have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save you, then you're saved this morning. You say, well, I don't know, it's that simple. Every place you'll find the New Testament, you know what they did? They walked up on somebody and said, do you believe? And they believed. And that belief, in Romans chapter number 4, that faith was counted for righteousness. Faith. you need to believe. And if you're not saved, you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what in the world are you waiting for? Put your faith in Christ. Settle it. Just settle it. Just settle it today. Why wait another minute? Brother Brad told me the other day, he said, pride has been holding me back for the longest time. I was scared what people might think of me if I came forward and asked the Lord to save me. He says, if you have to come forward here and present it in front of everybody that you got saved, no, you need to get it settled in your heart this morning. Amen. Put your faith and trust in Christ. And then if you do, don't question it ever again. Settle it. Get it settled and never question it again. That's what you need to have. Because you can't have victory in your life if you're always walking around wondering if you're saved or not. So get it settled. But let me tell you something. Just because you're going through troubles, it doesn't mean, I wonder if I really have a real God. No, He's real. He's real. Just stick with Him. Let's stand to our feet.